But today and probably tomorrow, we'll take some time and slowly look at the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow meaning Sunday, yes. Excuse me. last week was Memorial Day and Pentecost Sunday. We talked briefly about Pentecost. And we talked about some of the guys who laid their life down for the Lord. And one of them was Polycarp. You guys remember me talking about Polycarp? I love looking at his life. But you know, he went to his death. I mean, he was burnt at the stake, and the fire wouldn't burn him. But he stood there and witnessed to those who were putting him to death. And he prayed. And how could he do that? What gave him the strength to do that? And it is the Holy Spirit, right, which is God. Remember, God is a triune person. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All three of them are people, or persons. And we have to understand that. And here we are today, carrying on the ministry of the Lord, in the time that He's chosen for us to live. And the same strength that Christ was given through the Holy Spirit, we have that same strength available to us. So we're going to look at today some of the things on the Holy Spirit and how it has always been around, and the need to acknowledge Him in our life. But it says here, this year for Pentecost, the Lord is trying to show a greater view on how Pentecost Sunday has impacted the church, how it has impacted the followers of Jesus. Now in John 14, verse 15 and 18, if you want to take notes, you'll walk right down the scriptures. This is something you go back and read and reread again and encourage yourself truly of who is in you. If not, this will be online in a couple of weeks. My son posted it for me. He's out of town for a while. But Jesus speaking to the disciples, He said, "Now if you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is a Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you." Abides with you and will be in you. Jesus, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three are one. All three had different jobs to do, if I put it that way, okay? God sent Jesus, and Jesus went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. And one thing that jumps out here is, I'll send you another helper. A helper. Now, if I was going to mow my grass today, and I was complaining about it, but boy, it's going to be tough. And Fernando's, "Hey, Pastor, I'll come out. I got a mower. I'll mow with you." "Oh, great." And so he comes out, starts mowing the grass. I'm sitting on my back porch, drinking my iced tea, watching, waving at him stuff, you know. How long? See, I missed the word that he said. See, what did he say he would do? "I'll come out and help you." He didn't say, "I'm going to come out and you just relax, don't do anything, and I'll mow the grass for you," you know, which I wish he would do that. But he said, "I will help you." Meaning, as I do what I'm called to do on this day, which is mow grass, He'll be there to help me. You know? And if I would sit down, He would sit down. Because He's going to help me mow, He'll help me relax also. Okay? And this Holy Spirit that was sent to us at Pentecost is given to us as a helper. Why? Because we accept the call from Jesus to be His followers, to carry on His ministry. And throughout this, you can understand the same power that came down from heaven upon Jesus when He was baptized, the same power that raised Him up from the grave, lives in us. That same power given to us to carry on the ministry of Jesus. It's there to help us. All we have to do is have that desire to follow Jesus. Amen? To have Him be number one in our life. And what's awesome about this Holy Spirit, He's also a comforter. Amen? He brings us peace. He's like a gigantic librarian that brings back what Christ has taught us. When we read this word, we study it, you hear the word, it goes into your memory banks, okay? You might think you won't ever remember it no more, but that Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. Oh, Lord, what should I do? The Word of God will come back to you. Oh, Lord, what can I say? Well, you go, because you know you need to go, and trust in the Holy Spirit to give you the words to speak. So we get really scared at times, just because we don't mess up, right? That we don't want to mess up at all. But we realize that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that person lives in us. And we are His hands, His feet, His mouth. And He'll help us. He'll guide us, tell us where to go. And when we get there, He'll speak through us. And there's nothing to be afraid of. Some people say, well, I'm not a Billy Graham or Franklin Graham. Well, you weren't called to be one of them. You're called to be who you are. Amen? But as this word comes in, and the more of the word you get in you, amazing, the more this that you put in you, you have a greater reservoir for the Holy Spirit to pull back, pull out, to comfort you and strengthen other people. Amen? It's just, it's like in school, I went in the first grade. Some of you might be not too sure if I went in the second grade or not. You know what I'm saying? But when I went in the first grade, I loved it because you had big fat pencils. Remember that? Great big fat erasers and stuff. Oh, my lands. Yeah, and you got to draw and stuff like that, you know. Well, it was awesome for being in first grade. But second grade, a little more challenging, you know. You had to be more disciplined in third grade, fourth grade, and I think that's how far I went. But the more that the teachers put into me, the more I was able to use throughout my life. And I'll tell you, I would say probably everything the teachers taught me, I've used maybe 10% of it because I didn't pay much attention. If I knew later on in life, when I was 25, how important what the teacher was trying to teach me when I was 12, I would have listened. Amen on that one? Amen. Amen. But knowing that now, I can take this word, knowing that when we follow Christ, He's got a calling on all our lives, that I need everything in here. I need every word, everything explained there. Oh, and I'll be studying this, they'll hear the trumpet sound. And because I'll never know it all. I know this, Carol, I know you don't... I'm going to break your heart, but I won't know everything. Yeah, I know. But when I have it in my heart's desire, God, I want more of you. I want to know more of you. God, I want you to use me. It's not about me anymore, God. How can I help others? How can I comfort others? And this word comes to us, and as I read it and meditate on it, it goes into my library, and the Holy Spirit has it there. And when a situation comes up, it's like the librarian goes, there you go. And there it is. You know, now I've said before, it's not, it's great to know it, but it's not as important to know book, chapter, and verse as it is knowing the Word of God. Because when all these scrolls are written, there wasn't chapter, books, and verses, you know what I'm saying? It's all just like a big letter. They call them epistles, okay? They're like a letter. And as time went on, we broke it down to categories, make it easier for us to read and understand that, you know. But that's why it's so important. So I'll send you a helper, a comforter, a great librarian. And that's what took place at Pentecost. That's what they was waiting for, you know. I know when we read about the arrival of the Holy Spirit upon the 120 gathered in the upper room, it goes like this. In Acts 2:1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now that's very familiar when you think about Pentecost. And if you've been walking for the Lord for a while, you've heard this time and time again. But sometimes we allow this to get watered down. We water down how awesome the Holy Spirit truly is. Sometime when Pentecost is mentioned in churches, it is put on the so-called back burner because it was sent just for the beginning of the church. It has no importance in the church today. Or people get fearful of the Holy Spirit because it mentions speaking in tongues, and a lot of the denominations today even state there isn't for the church today. But it's my hope, as well as the Lord, that we share the Holy Spirit in such a way that the presence of His presence in your life, you have a greater understanding. See, a lot of folks who do that, you know, when they think of the Holy Spirit, they all start speaking in different tongues, and we talk about speaking in tongues, we talk about a prayer language. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit working through you. And people will shut down right away because, number one, I don't want to do that. I might be checking out at the store and start speaking in tongues. No. Again, He is a what? Helper. He's a helper. He's inside of you, okay? And when you know, it's awesome when you know how to pray. Oh, Lord, we're going to pray. You pray in your prayer language. No idea what I'm speaking of then. Amen? It's strange, but I can pray in my prayer language, and I can talk, or my mind is somewhere else, and I'm going to be thinking about something else, because it's not me doing it. It's the Spirit of God, okay? And for a lot of us, we maybe grew up in a church where that was forbidden. You know, that's of the devil. That's because they don't know, okay? That weapon was given to the church when it first started. But that weapon had already been out there over the years, you know? So we want to at least check it out, you know? You know, if I told you I had a new car out there, it'd go 180 miles an hour in 6 seconds, you know. Most of you want to try it out. At least the guys would, right? And Vicky. Can you imagine that power? Whew. Well, I saw the other day, they had a pursuit in Tuscarawas County. The car was going 163 miles per hour. Totaled it, and the guy walked away from it. Wow. But that power, I want to try that. I want that power. But the Holy Spirit, the same way, it's power given to us. And not to be afraid of it, embrace it. I mean, that 163 mile per hour race, I don't know who it was driving, but he might have started off in a Volkswagen as a young kid driving, okay? 40 mile an hour. But after he got used to driving it, then maybe he went to a Camaro then. And then for some reason he couldn't afford a bigger car, so he stole one. I don't know how that came about. But it's not to be afraid of it. Not to be afraid of what the Holy Spirit can do for us and through us. Because, man, it's awesome. As we pray, as we seek wisdom and guidance from the Scriptures, man, it'll help us understand. There is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, my wife is a fantastic teacher. I became the Bible study, you know that. And she's awesome, but she's not as good as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches through her. Amen? Comes to you, you receive it. The Holy Spirit in you then, we can say it, chewed around. Chew around. You ever watch a cow chew his cud? Real slow, and thinking about it. Okay, it processes in your mind, right? And the Holy Spirit, it might even give you a greater revelation from that. That's the Holy Spirit. He's designed to teach us. That comforter.
The Hebrew word for meditate means a cow.
Well, I'm going to remember that next week. Chuck had to go away, but next Sunday I was, hey, Chuck, I'm in pasture field. I've seen your cows meditating. And he'll say, what are you talking about? And you guys can tell him what it was. Amen. But yeah, it's a great teacher in us, you know. And it's like any teacher, man. Take school itself. You start off in first grade and second and third, you know, the Holy Spirit, as it grows in you, or you give surrender more of your life to Him, it's an amazing thing, and He'll tell you what to do, what not to do. Bring that Word of God back to us. We must understand, this is a little different for me. I took a lot of notes. I typed a lot of stuff up last night. Normally I run back and forth here like a chicken with a head cut off. But It's going to be a 2 or 3 week deal, so I've got so much for the day, so I'm going to miss any of it. But we must understand that God is a triune God, meaning He's three persons in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I know at times, like, man, how can that be? Well, I'm not God. I can't tell you how it can be, but I just can tell you it is. You know, I kind of describe it at times. I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm a pastor. I'm three guys in one, but I'm all one guy, you know. But not nearly that God is, okay? The Holy Spirit is a person just as God the Father and God the Son is. See, God is omnipresence, meaning He is everywhere all the time. And God is omniscience. Say it for me. I know. Thank you. He knows all. Everything that takes place, He knows it. And He is everywhere because of what? The Holy Spirit. Think of that. We are surrounded by the Holy Spirit right now. Everywhere. You can't go anywhere without being in the presence of God, whether you know God or not. Which is an awesome thing, knowing that He's with you all the time. Now, it's not so awesome if you're not doing what you should be doing. You know what I'm saying? You can't shut off the lights or close the door and get God out of there. You know, He's right there with you, you know? But that's how God knows everything. He says that He knows your needs before you even need Him. Why? Because He's there. He's watching it. Just ask Him. You know? Ask what you need. Pour your heart out to Him. He's there with you. God, help me. Cry out to Him. We seem to do everything ourselves, our own way, time and time again. And we try to do our best, don't we? Oh, it's going to be different this time, Vicki. It'll be different this time, and I try. It's still the same. Why? Because I'm doing it myself. But I cry out to God, give me insight, give me strength, man, give me wisdom. Give me somebody that can help me. Okay, start giving me waiting a long time for you to cry out to me. Here. Man, what happens then when He gives me that thing? I have to decide to take it, right? The Holy Spirit there is to help me now because God's given me the answer. Hey, you need to do this, whatever it might be. It might be relocating a different job. It might be quitting this or doing this, whatever. This is your answer, Starkey. Now the Holy Spirit is within me to allow me to do what God suggested for me to do. The Holy Spirit won't drag me across the street. The Holy Spirit won't drag me from one job to another. Amen? But He'll help me. He'll give me the strength, encouragement to do what God wants me to do. That's how important He is. In Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24, am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in the hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? Amen. You just think, tonight, no matter where you're at tonight, whatever's going on, and you're sitting and maybe you're having a tough day, just think, God is right there with you. He's there. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. I mean, you can be upset with the world. You can yell at God. He understands. My heart's breaking down. God, I don't understand what's going on. God, what's going on? He's listening to you. But when we cry out to Him like that, oh God, what's going on? Let's take time to listen to the response. Folks, when our hearts break, God's heart breaks also, believe me. This whole world the way it is today, that wasn't the intention. And he had a backup plan. It was the intention to be in the Garden of Eden, and we was going to be like the 60s out in California, flowers in our hair, flowers. You know what I mean? He tried to warn us. But even though man failed into sin, God still came with the Son Jesus and rescued us. So when our hearts break, His does. But He has, we got a better day coming for us. Again, this place is not our home, but while we're here, man, He wants us to serve Him. I'll meet your needs, He says, as you serve me. But someday I'm going to take you out of here. I'm going to take you to places. No more of this stuff. No more of this stuff's going to take place anymore. No sickness, no death, no dying, no heartbreak, no nothing like that. And that day is coming soon. Amen. read a Psalms to you, Psalms 139. And you just kind of listen to it, let the Lord speak to you as I read it. But it's written by David. He says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up." Wow. "You understand my thought from afar." Man, he sees everything you do. He's in your head. "You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and I dwell in the remote parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay a hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, Lord. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you." Because where God is, darkness cannot be there. Amen? We remember that. And so when we have the dark times in our life, we all go through some dark times, man. When we call upon the name of the Lord, we look at what He has done, what He has said, knowing He's there with you. Man, it raises you up in that darkness around you. It flees. In fact, we sing a song here, and the scripture says, you know, "Put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness." Man, when you're about ready to give up, just start praising God. Start praising Him, and that will raise up your countenance. I'll tell you what, that darkness is going to flee. You'll realize, man, it's not as bad as you thought it was, because I have hope through Christ Jesus. I have a promise for a better day. Amen? Verse 13, "For you were formed by inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." Man, from the very beginning, He had His hand upon this. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. He put us together just perfect, guys. We got everything we need on that. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them." Man, no matter what you're going through, God's thoughts for you are precious. Maybe the world's coming against you, but God's not. Oh, somebody just said one nice thing to me today. Man, get this book out. Get into a psalm and read it. Oh. "If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there are any hurtful ways in me, and lead me in everlasting way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." Man, that's a good thing when you're talking to God. Say, "God, you know, I don't see nothing, God, in my life that's bad. Search me, where you show me something that's in there. Something I need to get rid of. Something I need to lay down. You know my thoughts. And what God will show you." And he'll say, Bicky, we need to fine tail this. You know, you're feeding them chipmunks out there. But he'll correct you on one thing, at the same time compliment you on another. Because he knows we're not perfect. You know how it is, somebody comes up to you, "Hey, man, I'll use me. Oh, preacher, I want to tell you, it was a good sermon that you had today." "Oh, thank you. It was kind of long, though." So they get 2 points across, but, you know, they liked it, but shortened up a little bit, you know. That was John. I know. And I'm telling you what, Rita, I still have the same thoughts in my head. John always said to Rita, they sit right up here, watch out. If Sharky starts prancing back and forth, it's going to be a long one. Because Cubby going back and forth, listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, like, what are you going to do? And John, it's going to be a long one. So now I had to sit back here and go back and forth. Oh, my. But if you look at verse 7 again, I won't go back to it. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Nowhere. Through the Holy Spirit, God knows what is going on all the time. Remember, this is the Spirit that arrived on Pentecost to the followers of Jesus in the upper room. The same Spirit he's talking about here. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is also called the breath of God. They're interchangeable. Amen? In Psalms 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. So he's saying, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the Holy Spirit, or the breath of his mouth, all their host. The Holy Spirit helped form the universe. Amen? Think, how big is the universe? Or I couldn't tell you. How many galaxies are out there? I can't tell you. It's still growing and stuff. But think of this for a second. That vastness, that Holy Spirit that created that, lives in you. Isn't that amazing? Think of a second. The breath of God that spoke the word created the universe. That Holy Spirit hasn't changed. It's still the same. It lives in you. What would happen if you would speak the word of God? What's that? Exactly. Think of that. I mean, to me, you got to get your head around that. Maybe your head, maybe your hands. I don't know what I mean. But that's what Pentecost was. Penny, it lives in you. And folks, as you study the Word, that Word of God comes to you. And you're in time that you need a weapon, and we know the Word of God is our weapon, the sword, and you speak it out. You can tear down strongholds. We can change. It's in us. Wow. You talk about being somebody. Man, who are you? Man, I'm a child of God. Okay. Huh. They don't understand. And we don't quite grasp that time. Again, we go back to Pentecost. We think about all that came out. Gibbering, jabbering. And we put it aside. But the Holy Spirit is a lot more than just speaking in tongues. You can say that. He's in us. Wow. Genesis. Did I read Genesis, did I? Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit, there it is, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Think of that. And God said, through His breath, through the Holy Spirit, because it was the breath that took the words out of His mouth, right? And we know that Christ is the living Word of God, right? See how it all kind of ties together there? You know what I'm saying? Let there be light, and there was light. That Spirit that lives in you was the power behind that. So look what happened when God's Spirit, or also His breath, spoke and it took place. This Spirit now lives in the followers of Jesus, inside each of us who are born again. What power is that? He created the heavens and the earth, and now dwells inside of believers. Look what we can create. We are charged with bringing heaven on earth, right? Remember the Lord's Prayer, yeah? It'll be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. To me, it's kind of supercharged the scripture that we quote quite a lot in 1 John 4:4, when we read, It says that you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So when he says greater he is in you, greater is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that lives in you, is greater than anything in this world. The devil can't match the Holy Spirit. The devil is a fallen angel. And the power of the Holy Spirit lives within you. Greater is he. All we got to do is load our weapon. Amen? If I was going to go groundhog hunting today, I'd grab me a 270 and I'd take out there out the field to get him. Won't do me any good if I don't grab my ammo. Amen? Ammunition. Amen. I'm not going to shoot the chipmunks, Vicky. Say, y'all shoot a groundhog. Same way with us. The Holy Spirit's in us. He's our weapon. This word charges it. Boom, boom. Then when we take that Holy Spirit, that weapon, and we speak out the Word of God, we need to have that confidence that what you speak is going to take place. In your head, the devil try to get in and say, oh, what difference is going to make? Who are you? You're nobody. Yeah, I'm nobody. But the Holy Spirit was inside of me as somebody. He's a third person of the Trinity. And he gave me new life. No longer do I live, but Christ lives in me. Don't take it the wrong way, but there's like 30 different Christs in here right now. Of the power of Christ. Amen? He is our brother. The Bible speaks that we're a child of God now. We're not gods. I'm not ever trying to say that. But you've been given that authority. Kind of like I was a deputy sheriff for years. Not sheriff. Deputy. The sheriff gave me his power and authority. That was his job, but he had deputies to carry out his job. That way, you have deputies in different places instead of just one person. That's with us. We give them the power and authority that God gave His Son Jesus when He walked upon this earth through the Holy Spirit. That's us. We can make a difference. Now, I had a choice. I was on the force. I could be out here and watching traffic and monitoring and slowing people down and stuff, you know, and sitting out here on busy days on Fridays and try to keep shoplifters away and stuff like that, you know, while I'm going out there. Woo, because He's given me His authority to do that. Or I go down to Tim Hortons, sit there and eat donuts all day and drink coffee. Now, do I have the same authority sitting in there at Tim Hortons eating donuts and drinking coffee I would out here on the street patrolling? Yes. But am I using that authority? To the best? No. And it's like us. We have that power. We have that authority. We have it. God's given it to us. And we're learning every day how to use it more and more. And I got sworn in one day, but it was I was taking classes, and John can tell you too. We took classes all our life because the laws keep changing and getting different, you know. Praise God, His law doesn't change. But we had to stay on top of things. I want to be fresh because I was called to do that. And here we are. We accept the calling of following Jesus. And right here is all the stuff that we need. We just got to be able to be out there and to use it, not be afraid not to. Don't be afraid of serving the Lord. Because I know, again, I said before, we're all afraid we're going to fail, right? But I'm telling you what, I don't remember how many it was now, but Babe Ruth struck out more time than he hit home runs. But what he's known for? Home runs. Yep, amen. Two more yet, girl. Yeah, I know. I know. The Spirit that arrived at Pentecost has always been active, has always been there. There is no beginning or no end to the Holy Spirit. It just showed up there on Pentecost because now it was going to consume the followers of God. They're going to come in and occupy their body. Before that, the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Now, I'm going to tear this word up. In Exodus 31, verse 2 and 3, there's a fellow named Bezalel. I'm going to call him that. You can call him whatever you want. Okay? Carol, you want to challenge that? Okay. But listen, Exodus 31, verse 2 and 3 says, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit," the Spirit, "of God and wisdom, and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of craftsmanships, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze, and cutting of the stones for settings and in carvings of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. Now, this is a guy called by God. Filled him with the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of Pentecost, gave him wisdom. It made him a craftsman. God gave Moses the design for the Ark of the Covenant. This dude made it. So sometimes we think about, oh man, God's anointing on that and I'll be in the pulpit. No. You'd be a craftsman. You could be a mechanic anointed by God. You could be a healthcare worker, a teacher. God's calling, as He called you to a place, He will give you the anointing to do that. To the Holy Spirit, think of that. It's not just, the Holy Spirit isn't just for behind the pulpit. It's for every aspect of our life. And this guy here, man, he'd become a craftsman. Man, I wish I had that anointing. I wish I could rub off on me a little bit, you know. But man, he built the Ark of the Covenant. Isn't that awesome? What do you do well? What type... What is one thing that you do better than anything else? Think about that for a second. And God's anointing upon you brings Him glory. You say, well, how would I do that? Well, maybe somebody, healthcare workers. You know, you take care of people. You have a heart for them. You have all such anointing for that. You know? You walk in, you talk to them. Hey, how you doing today? Oh, can I help you here? Okay? That's God's anointing. I don't have that anointing. I walk in and say, suck it up. Come on, get up, you know? That's not my calling, okay? Well, I might not say that, but... Then in Deuteronomy 34:9, Joshua. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Wow. Joshua followed Moses. And the time come, man, the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, came upon him and gave him strength to be a leader. Amen? And people listened to him. That's the same Holy Spirit that arrived at Pentecost. That's the same Holy Spirit that what? Lives in you. Amen. Gideon. Judges 6:34. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abzerites were called together to follow him. So Gideon was a very timid man, very bashful, quiet, until the Spirit of the Lord, until the Holy Spirit came upon him and became a mighty warrior. Again, we are looking at the same Spirit that arrived at Pentecost in the upper room, that touched the 120, that caught them on fire, that started the church, which is now made available to us if we repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit who made warriors, made craftsmen, is living in you. One more. This is it for today. It is. I'm going to draw a line right here. Oh, you're right. No, this is the last one for today. David, 2 Samuel 23, 1 verse 2. Now these are the last words of David. David the son of Jesse declares, the man who was raised on high declares, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me and His word was on my tongue. Again, King David, we know, awesome man of God. We know that he failed and sinned several times, amen. God raised him back up again, and he's saying right here, amen, the anointing was upon him through the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, spoke through his mouth. And we have a testimony of the testament written in the book of Psalms, other places, and Samuel, of David speaking. And that's the same Spirit that lives in us. In 2 Peter 1:21 it says, For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And that's where a lot of folks think the Bible is written by a bunch of people. They're just not by God. But the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit using the hands of man and woman to write it. I think there's 40 different authors over a 1,500 year period of time brought the Bible together. And folks, there'd be no way that you could keep that, so many stories straight. But the Holy Spirit does. Again, who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Who lives inside of you? Holy Spirit. Who can teach you the greatest things about the Bible? The Holy Spirit, the author of it, yeah. See, our job is to enlighten you and teach you and encourage you and pray with you and stuff. But man, it's the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. They'll take it farther than ever we could ever do it. And next thing you know, you're sitting there beside somebody and you're sharing them the Word of God. I don't understand that. And the Holy Spirit's here. I'll share with you. Just speak to them. And man, that's how we catch on fire. That's how we make disciples. See, the Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations. A disciple is a follower of Jesus, right? A disciple is someone that has to be poured into and taught and corrected and poured into. It's ongoing thing. It's not saying one prayer, Lord, become my Savior. And think you're done. Now, if you've got 2 minutes to go on this earth, that's it. You're going to heaven. Amen. You acknowledge Him. But from that point on, it's being a disciple. It's pouring you. Because why? Because there's a reason why He reached out to you. There's a reason why you're born again. Because others around you that need the same awesomeness of God that you have. Isn't that awesome? All men who have served effectively in the Old Testament did so by the Holy Spirit. And now today, the same for us. We are going to be a follower of Jesus and do what He has called the church to do, then we must do it with the Holy Spirit also. Amen? Whew. If we got through one of them today. But again, I'm not in a big hurry to get through this. I'm going to take my time going through it, guys. It's so important for the church to recognize truly who the Holy Spirit is, what He does in us and through us. And I pray it will strengthen a lot of us and we'll just catch on fire for the Lord. Amen? In these last days that we're living in, Satan's pulling out all the plugs and going out using everybody he can to destroy what God's created. And so that's why it's so important for us to be rooted in the Word and have a prayer life and stand up for what is correct. Because people's eternity depends on it. You know? I mean, if I sat here all day, I say, you've never been to church, you come in here, I say, yes, we get to heaven, God's awesome, at Revelation last night, but $1,000 today. Make you check out the Starkey Lawrence, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be in heaven. Because God loves a cheerful giver, right? So see, I'm twisting the words around, guys? Okay? But if you had never been in a gathering before, and you come in like, man, I need something. I don't know what. I just need something. And you hear this preaching. Oh, man, all I got to do is give $1,000. Oh, man, and cheerfully, and I'll go to heaven. Well, then you would walk here thinking that's all you got to do. Is that right? That's wrong. Do you know how to get to heaven? Yes. Yeah. Amen. You do. Okay. You know the truth. So God wants you to share that truth. And we're going to come across folks that don't know anything yet. And like I was at one time. I was going to heaven because I was a cop. I mean, come on. Well, I thought so. But, I needed Jesus, guys, believe me. But, amen. But see, we want to be able to have that confidence in us, which is the Holy Spirit, to share the truth. And sometimes people will reject it because they were raised one way, a false way, and it takes a while to get your mind open. You know, I was the same way. If you tell me, you're going to hell, I'm not going to listen to you. But if you ask me questions, well, why are you going to go to heaven because you're a cop? Well, what does it say in the Bible? Of course, I would say, blessed are the peacemakers. But then when it takes me to the place that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we just sin, you know what I'm saying, the Romans road? It makes you start thinking. And I'll start checking things out. And the Holy Spirit inside of us will give us that wisdom and that discernment how to approach people on that. Sometimes But I just keep their mouth shut because they're not ready yet. Amen? And the other times, okay, they're ready now. You know, one of you guys will sow. Another one will water the seed. Another one come along through the Holy Spirit and bring in the increase. You know, we just got to be patient and trust Him in that. Amen?